Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and as always, our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A wonderful resource, consultants as well standing by. The number to dial, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We'll go to the calls. First up is Sean. He's listening in Stanwood, Washington, on the web. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. My question is, a little background. I'm looking to join the Orthodox Church, and I'm leaving the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. But my wife is not convinced by the arguments against the papacy. And I was wondering if you could provide some evidence against the supremacy of the Pope and the infallibility of the Pope.
Well, you know, I don't hold to papal infallibility. I think, as others have said, the early church fathers, the patriarchs of the church, you might say about them that 100% of these early church fathers and patriarchs are right 80% of the time. This is not original with me, but I think the quip is very useful. But I think before I talk about Roman Catholicism at all, I ought to underscore the fact that some of the finest apologists in the Christian faith are Roman Catholic. I think about Dr. J. Richards or Dr. Frank Beckwith. Many others immediately come to mind. The list could take the rest of the program. But these are fine, fine men in terms of life and in terms of being genuine believers and defenders of the faith. The other thing I think that's important to recognize is that Roman Catholicism, like Orthodoxy, is not monolithic. And I think that is often lost in the discussion about either one of them. And of course, you could say that about Lutherans as well. I mean, you have the Missouri Synod Lutherans, you have the ELC. There are many varieties of Lutherans, and there are many varieties of Reformed. I personally grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. And given that there are certain differences that we keep in mind, what I have continued to forward on the broadcast is not meant to be demeaning. It is meant to simply forthrightly communicate major differences, and you mentioned one of them. I don't think that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra that he's infallible. Many Catholics do. And, you know, when the Pope spoke from St. Peter's chair and defined the Immaculate Conception, Orthodox people, of course, recoiled from that. But I also think that it is wise for us to be charitable. In other words, Jesus said, you know, before we look at the speck in someone else's eye, let's look at the beam in our own eye. And you think about evangelical Christians, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, many of whom are dear friends of mine. They will hold that there's going to be a millennial temple, and Jesus is going to preside over that temple, and the sacrifices that he presides over are going to be efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness. Well, by logical extension, that seems to me to deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. But I think it would be less than charitable to draw everything out to its logical extension. And so I think in these discussions, there has to be you know, light instead of heat. There has to be a collegiality that oftentimes is missing. And I will say, to the extent that I have not been humble and contrite in my own remarks, I would seek forgiveness as well. So the bottom line for me is that the Roman Catholic Church is a true church. I think it has significant error, which of course, as I just mentioned, could be said about other bodies of believers. But we also have to remember the incredible work that the Roman Catholic Church has done on common cause issues like abortion. Thank God for their unfailing stand in this regard. So if I were talking to your wife, first of all, I'd do it with gentleness and with respect. I wouldn't force anything upon your wife. But if you have the kind of relationship that my wife and I enjoy, we can talk about these things. And I think the big thing you want to get straight in your conversation is that you're on the same page when it comes to essentials. Essentials like the deity of Jesus Christ, original sin, the canon and the church, the Trinity and the resurrection, the incarnation and the fact that we are, as Paul puts it, new creations in Christ, and then the fact that Jesus Christ will come again. How the details unfold, there are discussions about that amongst Christians, but that's something we can debate vigorously. Iron sharpens iron. So again, I'm simply saying that perhaps we need to reinforce over and over again those words in 1 Peter 3:15. Let's do what we do with meekness and humility. You know, it's so easy sometimes, particularly in my case, I have been doing a show for many, many years, and you learn lots of stuff. And you learn how to turn the table and how to win the argument, but that's not the goal. The goal is always to win a person. And again, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Let me go back to the phone lines and talk to Victor. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Victor.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm just blessed to be on the broadcast.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering if there's any scripture you could lead me to in regards to addictions, in particular cigarettes, which are legal by law, but is there any, can you comment on that?
Yeah, you know, the thing about this, Victor, is that we are called to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspect of our humanity. That is commission that we have as Christians so that we can best serve the Lord. And cigarettes have been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt to be very harmful to people. And therefore, I would say that there are means that you ought to seek out so that you can break that addiction. And we have a book by Joe Dallas, which I think is very helpful in terms of principle. But in general, I think it's important within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church to communicate to other brothers and sisters what you're fighting, what you're going through. Because Christian faith, Christian life is not a lone ranger process. I'm accountable to a church. I'm accountable within the context of the church, and when I fall, someone will pick me up and dust me off. And if I do those things that are harmful to my body or to my soul, then they will give me guidance in that regard as well. The book that I'm talking about, which I am very, very fond of, in fact, I remember telling Joe, you got to write this book, it's called The Game Plan. And it deals with sexual integrity, but it also deals with the principle of breaking very, very difficult addictions.
Oh, that's The Game Plan.
That is The Game Plan, yeah. And you can find it on the web at equip.org. One of my colleagues just handed me a Bible and pointed to a passage. So we read that passage starting on verse 12. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everything is permissible for me, but it is not beneficial for me. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And that includes food, you know, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. So the idea here in this case, the context has to do with sexual immorality, but again, we don't want to be mastered by anything. And obviously, cigarettes are very, very difficult addiction to break. And so I pray that there will be those that help you do that, that you don't go this road alone, and be happy to send you the game plan. If you can afford it, you can get it on the web. If not, again, it'd be my gift to you.
Thank you, Hank. I will call again.
Thank you so much. We are coming up to station break. I do want to remind people that I simply could not do what I do here and around the world without you. And so I'm always grateful for those that say I'm praying for you, and certainly deeply appreciative of those who support the ministry and so many who have joined CRI's monthly support team. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Aaron. He's listening in Antioch, California. Hi.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your ministry and for everything that you guys do there. It's such an encouragement to me, and I know for a whole lot of people. So thank you.
Well, my pleasure.
My question is, after the resurrection, when Mary encounters Jesus, in their encounter there, Jesus says to her, don't cling to me yet, or along those lines, something like that, right? Don't cling to me yet. I haven't ascended to the Father. And I was just, I can't understand what does he mean by that?
Well, the one thing he can't mean is that it was prohibited to touch his resurrected body, because obviously he asked Thomas, you know, touch me and see if it is really me in the flesh. And that's really in the same context. So what Christ is instructing Mary to understand is that he is not going to continue in the same relationship with her as she was used to before. He was not going to remain with her. That was past. But Jesus was pressing on. He was going to ascend to the Father. That's why we say in the creeds, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again from there to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So this is not a prohibition of touching the post-resurrected Christ, but it is instructing Mary that the relationship has changed, that he is going to be ascending to the Father. So there's a very dear and precious aspect to what Jesus is saying to Mary when you see it in that light.
Very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate that answer. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Teresa next. She's listening in New York. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I have a question about the giants and what, when they were, after the flood, where did they come from? If everybody was gone, where did they come from?
Yeah, really interesting, because the giants were men of renown, men of old, as the text actually tells us in Genesis chapter 6. And I actually wrote about some interesting things that we have discovered. I wrote about this in my book, Has God Spoken, where I point out that when you think about this epic story of David and Goliath, typically in modern translations, what you read is that Goliath was over 9 feet tall. However, Dr. Craig Evans has done some research in this regard and discovered that the Greek translation, these are actually his words, the Greek translation, the Septuagint for Samuel, says something very different about Goliath's height. It says that he was 4 cubits and a span. And if you know what cubits and spans are, you know that that is about 6 feet. 6 inches tall, which was, from what I understand, very, very tall for antiquity. And this has been actually underscored with the findings in the Qumran caves. So the findings that we have from the Dead Sea Scrolls suggest that the seemingly impossible height of Goliath actually was a result of a corruption of the original version of 1 Samuel. So this is, you know, one of those things that is ferreted out as new things come to light, and as people do properly textual criticism. It's called a science. It's the science of textual criticism. It's really comparing manuscripts with manuscripts, and through that, getting back to the autographa.
Okay. So it was a corruption of the book?
Well, no, there is a mistake in the text. So remember that when we talk about the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, we're not making that case for translations. We're not making that case for copies. We're making that case for the autographa, and the autographa emerges out of the information that we have, the copies that we have. And this is particularly succinct and true when it comes to the New Testament. No one has done a better job of elucidating that than Dr. James White.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Miranda next. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your time. My question is, I have a friend who I would say is a part of the Hebrew Roots movement. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah. You know, he's been sending me a lot of text messages about the Passover, and I'm getting the message that it's a commandment for us to follow the feasts and festivals. And, you know, when I read the text that says to keep this forever, I know that Jesus was the Passover lamb, but that says forever. So I'm conflicted. Could you help me know what I'm supposed to receive from that, from the that text?
Sure. The text is very interesting in light of the fact that Jesus Christ said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And so what you have is the types and shadows fulfilled in our precious Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we not celebrate that which has been fulfilled? Because if we do that, Hebrews tells us that we are trampling upon the sacred blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the covenants are the same covenants, but one covenant is better than the other. And the reason it is better than the other, and the reason we celebrate Pascha, is that Jesus Christ, his blood, is better than the blood of bulls and goats. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Great question. I've written about this in many different places, including my book, Has God Spoken? Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jack next. Hi, Jack.
Hi there, Hank. Privileged to be on the show.
Well, it's nice to have you.
I'm representing about five other men in calling asking about Ephesians 5:26.
Hmm.
Could you explain or add some color to the portion of cleansing our wife by washing the water with water through the word?
Yeah, if you read the context of this passage, you see that there is a parabolic aspect to it, the mystery of Christ and the church. And so the analogy has to do with Christ and the church. That's the focus of what's going on in the passage. And so marriage is a wonderful way in which we can understand the mystery of Christ and the church. Marriage is so emblematic of that. My relationship to Kathy, you know, is very, very significant. It is an earthly, perceptible, very real relationship that points me to an even greater relationship, and that is my relationship with Jesus Christ. In general, if you're talking about marriage, marriage is parabolic, as I just mentioned. It is for psychophysical pleasure, and it is also for propagation.
That helps wrap things up a bit. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Eugene next. He's listening in Freehold, New Jersey. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Look, my question is, where do you find when Jesus was carrying the cross that he fell down three times?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We did some research on that. And the research reveals that the Gospels record that Jesus carried his own cross, and then Simon of Cyrene was required by the soldiers then to carry the cross. If you understand what Jesus Christ went through in his passion, you'll understand why it would have been difficult for Jesus Christ to carry the cross. But the Gospels really don't say that Jesus fell, to the best of my knowledge, while carrying the cross. So the three falls of Christ included in what are called the stations of the cross. If you've ever been in Israel, in Jerusalem, you've probably encountered that firsthand. These were introduced in the late Middle Ages. So this is a way of identifying, in a Trinitarian sense, I suppose, with the passion of the Christ. It's certainly not only plausible, but likely that he fell. And the tradition is that he fell three times, but we don't know that with absolute certainty. There's a sense in which there's a communal memory of the church that passes these things on through the ages. And so the idea is a wonderful idea, but again, it is not buttressed by scripture to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, because I couldn't find the article. I searched all over. Couldn't find it. It does say something about the Catholic have some parts in, but he fell down three times.
Yeah, well, it has been traditional in the church now for quite a long time. That is the belief that many people hold, but again, it is a belief that has more to do with perhaps a communal memory that is passed down through the ages, or sometimes it's called a community memory, passed down through the ages than it does with what we find in the actual biblical text. My appreciation to all those that pray for me and pray for the ministry and for those who support the ministry financially as well. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.